Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O come, let us worship the Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away. I lift my eyes to the hills.
Where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Heaven and earth will pass away.
But my words will not pass away.
The Old Testament reading is from Malachi chapter 4.
For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out like leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. For they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen.
The epistle reading is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are the days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled.
And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Children's choir, make them up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation." I think we can check that one off the list. "And kingdom will rise against kingdom." That one too. Check. "There will be great earthquakes." Check. "In various places, famines." Check. "And pestilence." Check. "And there will be terrors." Check. "And great signs from heaven." Check. "But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you." Check and check. It is all just as our Lord said it would be. 2,000 years ago, he prophesied that these things would happen to his disciples even before the destruction of the temple, and that they would be persecuted. And that's precisely what happened. He also told them that he would give them a mouth of wisdom that none of their adversaries could contradict. And that, too, is exactly what happened. In fact, this prophecy and this promise of Jesus to his apostles is true, and it continues in our very midst today in the writings of these apostles, in the apostolic scriptures. In these we have wisdom that even 2,000 years later none can refute. It is all just as our Lord said it would be. He prophesied that even before the end of the temple there would be false Christs, and there were. That there would be wars and tumults, and there were. That there would be a laundry list of earthquakes and famines and terrors, and indeed, there were. He prophesied before the destruction of the temple, some of his disciples would be put to death, and so they were. And yet, in the very same breath of this prophecy, he said to them, "Not a hair on your head will perish, but by your endurance you will gain your lives." When Stephen, the very first Christian martyr, was about to die, about to be stoned to death, he looked into heaven and said to his murderers, all gathered round, "Look, I see heaven opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And with Stephen, the whole church began to see what Jesus had meant. Even though we die, not a hair on our head will perish. By our endurance, we will gain our lives. It is all just as our Lord said it would be. Our Lord's sermon for today, as is often the case with prophecy, is telescoping together two future events, one near and one far, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and the judgment at the end of the age. To oversimplify for the sake of brevity, and I do mean that, I am oversimplifying for the sake of shortness, we can roughly divide Jesus' sermon into three parts. The first section is that in which Jesus prophesies the destruction of the temple and all the events that led up to it. And all this happened just as he said. The second section, verses 20 to 24-ish, he prophesies of the destruction of Jerusalem and the events that would lead up to it. And everything happened just as he said. And then in verses 25 through 36, he prophesies of the destruction of the world with all the events that will lead up to it. And guess what? All of it will happen just as he says. And this is precisely our comfort. Whether it is the whole world shaking around us or just our individual lives, whether it is yet another headline on the news or something more personal, we need not be afraid. That's one of the key points of Jesus' sermon to us today. Our Lord Jesus is now risen from the grave. He is quite in control, and he is very much with us. Whether you're considering the whole scope of the world's impossible problems or just the specific sorrows that have come upon you, all things, all times are in his hands. That's Jesus' point. So great is this point that one of our greatest of the Lutheran fathers, St. Martin Chemnitz, taught, not only has God predestined us to heaven, but he also so loves us that he predestined the use of our sufferings and our sorrows so that we may be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, it may not feel like much, but it is the truth that there is no greater honor in all of heaven and all of earth than to be conformed to the image of God's own Son. And if suffering and sorrow were not below the dignity of God's own Son, they certainly are not below our dignity either. And if he endured them, suffered them, and in due time triumphed over them, then so shall we, for we belong to him. What's more, this same Christ, Christ himself, Christ the crucified, the man of sorrows, promises to be with us always in this very sanctuary. It is he who calls us to his table and opens up his meek and lowly heart, who wipes away every tear from our eyes and puts the medicine of peace and the medicine of life, the medicine of joy and the medicine of immortality on our lips. Drink of it, all of you, he says, that we might be strengthened by his strength and endure as he endured. He shall do it thus. This is why he desires to give us the blessed sacrament of his love often. It is our meat and our drink, our strength and endurance in this veil of tears. All things shall be exactly as he said, nothing outside his control. All things, as mysterious or as difficult as they may be, are in his hands. And although we cannot always understand them or understand why, they are nonetheless, as he promises, they are for our good and for the good of those who love him. Only in his hands are we truly in good hands. And there upon his hands we see the marks of the nails, the sign of his unfathomable love. When we look anywhere else in all the world, in all our experiences aside from Christ, we might doubt God's love. But not and never if we have our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Has he not loved you so deeply that your very sins he has taken as his own? When they stripped him of his clothing, it was for you. When they whipped and scourged him, it was for you. When they beat him, spat upon him, and pressed the crown of thorns upon his innocent head, it was for you that he endured these things. There is no greater love, he said, than to lay down one's life for his friends. When they put the cross on his shoulder and beat him until he could go no further, it was for you. When they pushed him against the wood and drove the nails through his hands and his feet, it was for you. When they mocked him and ridiculed him, taunted him, saying, "Save yourself, come down from the cross," he would not. He endured all these things for you. "I am the good shepherd," he said. "I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep." When he bowed his head in death, when the spear pierced his side, when the water and blood poured forth, it was for you. The love of Jesus for you. Temples, Jerusalem, and the world must be destroyed. But before these things, Jesus himself, the one through whom the heavens and the earth were made, through whom and through him once more will be made a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem and a new and everlasting temple. The old temple, stained with the blood of bulls and goats. The old Jerusalem, the so-called city of peace, stained with the blood of the prophets. The old world stained with the blood of all the martyrs and all the blood of all the graves of every last person, it must all pass away. Thanks be to God, it must all pass away. And it must give way to the new. For our Lord Jesus is the everlasting temple, and we have been cleansed forever by his blood. The heavenly Jerusalem, the true city of peace, will descend as his bride and remain with him forever. The new heavens and the new earth will be stretched out before us, and with our own eyes and bodies which have been raised from the dead, we shall see not only these, but shall behold the one who has loved us. When the world and all of its sorrows weigh heavily upon us, what then shall we say? What shall we say? Come. Come, signs and the sun and the moon and the stars. Come distress of the nations and perplexity because of the waves and the roaring seas. Come people so proud and arrogant and faint with fear and foreboding for what is coming upon the world. Come Lord Jesus, Son of Man in cloud with power and great glory. When we see all of creation shaking around us and coming undone, it is precisely because the Almighty Creator is drawing near and the fallen creation cannot bear His glory. So when you see these things taking place, when you experience them, do not be afraid. Do not be despondent. No, Jesus says, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Christ, our Savior, is drawing near. And that, my friends, in Christ, is how Christ himself would like us to think about the last days. If a fig tree can tell us when summer is near, then these signs will tell us that Jesus is coming near. And why in all the earth would we mourn when we see the signs of the end? Why wouldn't we rejoice? Because the heavens and the earth must pass away, but our Lord Jesus and his word will never pass away. Let us come to our senses then, and begin to perceive evermore what is real. Let us come to our senses and let us understand what is happening all around us. It is all just as Jesus said it would be. So therefore watch yourselves. Guard yourselves, he says, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, cares of this life, and the day come upon you suddenly as a trap. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and stand before the Son of Man cleansed by his blood, holy and righteous in his sight. No matter what else happens in this life, it will be just as Jesus said, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering.
Just rise for the Te Deum.
Holy God, hear your people as they pray, and grant to us all things needful and beneficial, according to your gracious promise in Christ our Lord. Keep us from being led astray by those who speak lies in your name. Awaken within us ears to hear your word and hearts to believe, even in the face of trial and trouble, that we may be found faithful when our Lord comes in his glory to finish his new creation. Lord, in your mercy, uphold all ministers of your gospel, such as Brian, and those who hear it gladly. Cause that word to be honored, and so deliver them from wicked and evil men. Give a mouth and wisdom to your people in all adversity, to confess you boldly, and to endure faithfully to the end. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the gift of family, and we ask you to bless the homes in which your people dwell. Make them to be places of blessing and peace, centered in your word, where the faith is preserved and passed on to children and grandchildren. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you judge the world with righteousness and your people with equity. Bless us with good and faithful leaders and government to defend your people. Punish the evildoer and encourage virtue. Raise up those who will serve the cause of peace among the nations and defend our soldiers, such as Sean. Lord, in your mercy. Your Christ is our rising sun with healing in his wings. Shine his light upon the sick, those who suffer loss and persecution for the sake of your name, those whose hearts are heavy with grief, and all who have requested our prayers, especially Pauline, Joyce, Kelly, Cindy, Pam, Jared and Brenna, Kathy, Angie, Jordan, and Aubrey. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you are the strength of your people. Grant that we may not give in to temptation or be caught up in evil, but endure through your grace to the end of Christ's return. We pray that we would be found holy and blameless by the power of his grace when you bring the dawn of the last day and lead us into the place where there is no night, no darkness, and no death. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you have promised never to abandon us and to provide all that we need for this day and for eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, hear the prayers of your people and grant them all good things for your mercy's sake. To you, the eternal God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be glory now and forevermore. Amen.
Be with you. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Okay. Blessed Sunday morning to everyone here this morning. A couple of announcements. One, St. Thomas is having their hymn sing at 3:30. I am told there will be snacks, so if all the great music isn't enough reason to go, the snacks, I'm sure, will be plenty worth your time. There is a RSVP for the Christmas party for the ladies' aid, so please look at the details on that and sign up and get those in. Ladies' aid will be meeting this week at 7 p.m. Caleb will be a special guest. He will share his story of what brought him into the seminary and all that good stuff, so please don't miss out on that. The Advent midweek cookie sign-up sheets are available in the bulletin boards in the back, so please sign up to bring cookies for our Advent services as well. Operation Christmas Child, November 23rd is the deadline on that. There will be no CWS on November 26th, it looks like. And then LWML is continuing to collect those gift cards, and the end of that is on November 30th. Any announcements I have missed? Okay, depart in peace.